what I really want to say about Twitch Plays Pokemon is that it's a nightmarish hellscape, and that anyone who's enjoying it needs to think long and hard about why they're enjoying it, because they're watching the suffering of millions.
But they're also watching the success of democracy.
They're watching...
The slow progress of democracy. Yeah.
They're watching, like, the reason that Greek philosophers said, you know, democracy is never going to work. What we need is a really strong tyrant to bring the masses to order and play Pokemon by himself, which is how you're supposed to play Pokemon. The Greek philosophers anticipated a lot of things, including video games.
Do you think it's possible that they're never going to finish the game?
I think that even if they finish the game, it will never be finished. That you cannot unring the bell that is Twitch Plays Pokemon, and we're going to be due for countless more nightmarish hellscapes.
And if the goal is to catch them all, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, they're never going to catch them all.
Because they only have the one cartridge.
Yeah. Is that ever really the point of Pokemon beyond just being like a tagline, if anything?
I think that was just the TV show to make you buy toys.
To me, it was always...
Even Ash's actual goal was never to catch them all.
He's just going to be the best.
If it was, he had to... He was very bad at maintaining his
goals. Twitch put
an eye on the prize.
He wouldn't even evolve his Bulbasaur.
Twitch Plays Pokemon's goal is to release them all, which is a totally different thing.
Gotta release them all.
And I hope they do it, because then maybe people will stop playing and we can nip this nightmare in the bud. Because what's going to happen now is people are going to play more games like this, and they're going to drop. It's going to be a Mario Holocaust. Mario is going to go into holes. He's going to run right into those flaming pinwheel things. He's going to run right into that first Goomba over and over. It's never going to end. And it's and thousands of people are going to watch it. And I just, if I can do anything in my position as the least important Fangamer employee, you know, if I can use that power in any way, it's to tell people that they do not know what they're getting themselves into. They're opening Pandora's box, and it's not a good box. Close the box.
So I was talking to Charlie about this earlier today. And you were even saying this, Heidi, that this almost seems like it's possibly the future of games.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in terms of people playing Pokemon games together, but rather taking this mechanic of working together to play a otherwise single-player game, and maybe games potentially being designed around that mechanic.
That was actually, Mado put that idea in my head. He's like, a whole bunch of more games are going to do this now. And then, I don't know who came up with... games being designed specifically for this, that would be really fun, though. Like, because with Pokemon, it's just, like, a mess, because it's not made for that. But if someone could design a game like that, I think that'd be cool.
Could it go from the Inferno to Heaven, you think, Dan?
No. If this is the future, it is Sonic CD's dark future, where Dr. Robotnik has enslaved all the cute animals, and the music gets a little worse. You know, we're already there. We can't go to the past.
So Sonic 3D Blast.
Yeah. It's the Genesis version of Sonic 3D Blast 2. It's not the Saturn version, which is really kind of good. And you know, we're never going to see Sonic Extreme. Sonic Extreme is canceled forever because we wanted to do this stupid thing on Twitch TV.
What is the newest Sonic game that came out where Sonic's wearing a bandana now?
It's not out yet.
Oh, it's coming.
It's proposed.
It's not out yet, but it's coming soon.
It's
whether you want it or not. It's
yes.
Does anybody want it?
No.
No. Nobody in this room. Wants
granted,
it?
Though, I've never really wanted a Sonic game ever. So.
The only Sonic games I ever wanted was the originals on the Sega, and my parents didn't want to invest in a whole other console. So eventually, when Sonic Adventures 2 came out, I saw the game. It was on GameCube, so I bought it. Now, say what you want about the game, but 13-year-old Jeff was just so down for that game. And there were these little weird Tamagotchi creatures on it.
Chow.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. They're called
Chows. The Sega side of the room.
Yeah, Chows. So, my brother, we've had many conversations about this. He always said they're called KO, or at least Chaos.
Well, okay, that's... Yes. I bought the Dreamcast on day one, so I feel like I can say yes. I thought it was KO. I still think it's KO, but I do not yet have the rhetorical power to make everyone else say that. So for now, it's Chow.
See, and that sounds a lot better. Like, for a Tamagotchi pet, who wants a K.O. or a Chaos? You don't want a Chaos pet. You want a Chow.
Well, see, I think I think people like me who had their K.O. on a VMU that they could unplug from their Dreamcast should be entitled to at least two votes here. So when the referendum is held, we'll see who comes out on top.
There was a brief moment where I was trying to convince Charlie that we should rename this podcast the Chowcast.
The Chowcast, yes. The Chowcast, yeah. I'm totally in favor of that.
Charlie, rebel?
It would be nice to figure out a different name for the podcast by the end. Like, if we're going to kind of be rebooting a lot of it anyway, to kind of rebrand it, still as the official Fangamer podcast, but the Fangamer podcast is a bit of a mouthful.
The full name for this one is actually going to be The KOcast Does What Nintendodcast Don't.
slash Pokemon Twitch Play.
Yeah, but I don't think that actually fits into iTunes' metadata, so we'll see.
I mean, it came up, and I suggested Chowcast because Charlie wanted to do Chaos Theater, but that was taken. That's a podcast.
What if we call it the Sega Dreamcast?
Is there? I'm gonna look it up right now. Is there a Dreamcast podcast already?
There has to be.
Actually, I didn't lie though. I did want one Sonic game. It was Sonic versus the Dark Brotherhood or something like that.
Sonic versus the Dark Brotherhood.
Oh, seriously?
Is this by Alex Jones and InfoWars?
It was actually by BioWare, the RPG.
Oh, yeah. Did that come out?
Yeah, it was on the DS. I actually own a copy.
Oh my God.
Was that good?
It was a BioWare game that used Sonic. It was like...
No?
It was a little bit closer to Super Mario RPG than anything, really.
Huh.
It was very strange. I never finished it, though, because at some point it became a little bit closer to a BioWare game than Super Mario RPG.
See,
but
so there was a continuum that it was moving along,
yeah,
and it moved right off the rails at the end.
Well, I mean, BioWare RPGs always come to this point where you've been following the story for a while, it's been fairly linear, and all of a sudden you have three big options ahead of you, and you can conquer any of them in any order that you want, presumably. But, I mean, the first one's going to be harder because you're not leveled, and they're not going to scale, so they're going to get progressively easier. But whenever the three planets opened up to me, I realized that I actually didn't care about any of them, so I just kind of put it down. But it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue with Sonic games, besides the fact that they can't make one that controls well, and they haven't, like, 15 years... Like, the much smaller, less important issue with Sonic games is that it's clear nobody at all cares about Sonic. And the reason we know this is because they keep creating their own original characters named Blonic.
Or the games keep implementing Chows.
Yeah,
which have nothing to do with Sonic.
Chows or Shadow, the gun-wielding hedgehog.
Yeah.
Or Knuckles, who got super enormous and ripped and cut in the Sonic Boom reboot.
But as my brother pointed out, he missed leg day at the gym.
What? Oh yeah. He's one of those guys who is clearly just interested in his arms, and I hope they like implement that in the game. Like you have to use quap controls to keep him upright because his legs are so tiny.
Like make him run like a gorilla.
Yeah.
Or if he runs very slow.
Yeah. Like, all he can do is glide. You just have to have Tails and Sonic drag him to a high place.
Can't glide anymore with that kind of... Well, I guess that kind of a physique, he does kind of look like a kite.
Yeah. He's basically...
Maybe that was why they did it.
Yeah. So I think, like, if he can't walk but he can glide and Tails has to carry him up someplace and just throw him from a high place, that's a gameplay mechanic I haven't seen yet in Sonic.
I would play that game.
And it's... It wouldn't be much harder to control than any other 3D Sonic, so I think they should try it.
I'm going to jump in really
quick. That one's free.
And say that the Dreamcast podcast does exist, and it is seemingly only about basketball.
Is it called Dreamcast, or is it called the Dreamcast podcast?
It's called the Dreamcast.
What about Dreamcast Cast?
Okay, let's check that out really quick.
or the Sega Dream Pod.
That sounds another peripheral for the Genesis, where you attach it, and then you just kind of lay in a large egg-shaped device and it closes over you with a pleasant hiss, and then you are inside of the game.
Again,
and
I would play that.
You just have to roll around on top of your Sega activator, and you can control Street Fighter 2 with it.
No, I'm not seeing anything.
No, you just get a lot of music videos for POV.
I should probably be searching iTunes instead of Google. That's the other thing I should probably be doing.
I mean, we've got a lot of options for titles, and if you have titles that you would like to shoot us, please email Jeff, and he'll tally all of them.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
Back to you.
So one of us owns Bravely Default, and would you like to tell us how you got Bravely Default? Because it's sold out all around Tucson.
Yeah, that you can't find it in any GameStop. So you might be able to find it this week, but I was impatient.
Yeah. Tucson is a... Fangamer has created like a video game, a weeaboo sector all around Tucson. So Bravely Default, it's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, it's like a desert out here. And however, Heidi had the suggestion that... Maybe the way she finds every other popular game as it comes out, you can just go to Kmart. And my first thought was, oh, well, that's right, Kmart exists.
Kmart shoppers...
For those of you in the 21st century, yes. Let's explain what Kmart is.
Okay.
Once upon a time, Walmart had a competitor.
Yeah.
That's no longer the case.
Yeah. That was basically it.
But that's where I found the new Zelda game, Animal Crossing. It's just, Kmart shoppers don't go to Kmart to buy games. That's where you go. If you can never find a game, go to Kmart.
They don't go to Kmart to buy anything. I went to the Kmart in Fort Collins where I used to live. Not only was Kmart once a competitor of Walmart in the 80s, this Kmart was actually in a portal to the 80s. I went there, and God knows why I went there, probably because I'm a bad person and I have nothing else to do. But I went there, and there were just, they sold... appliances like your Sears, like your Walmart, like your Target, but unlike those stores, they were just sitting on a concrete floor in the clothing section with price tags on them. So I don't know who you would have to talk to get that. And you could walk into the game section, and the reason I wouldn't have thought to get Bravely Default at a Kmart was because the Kmart in Fort Collins, as of 6 months ago, was still selling Game Boy Advance games.
Wow.
And they had a Game Boy Advance, not the SP, the actual original.
Oh my God.
Game Boy Advance.
New in box?
No, not new in box, but on display.
You could,
is that better?
Yeah, you could play a Game Boy Advance. I don't even know what game they had in there because no one had replaced the batteries in years. but the Kmart in Tucson, it sounds like it was a little better.
I wasn't looking around for it. If I have this way of just kind of glossing over Game Boy Advance anything, it might have been there, but I just didn't notice it.
So they had Bravely Default, though.
They did. They had quite a few copies, actually. They had more copies of it than any other game in there, in fact.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty impressive. They knew that I was going to be going.
So you kept your eyes right on the 3DS section. You didn't look at any of the other squalor. You just got right out of there.
I got briefly distracted by a set of VHS tapes that they were selling.
That's the Kmart I know.
Surprisingly, very expensive too.
Yeah, so you can record your Breath of Fire 3 game.
Yeah.
So have you played any Bravely Default so far? Is
I
it did. Good?
I started playing it a few days ago, and I appreciate the game for the fact that it allows me to actually use one of my favorite features of the DS, which is to close it and not play it for a while.
All right.
Because there's this little village.
I'm following you.
There's this village that apparently got destroyed, and it's your job to help rebuild it. And what you do is you have this one little villager in there. You can get it more if you street pass other people playing the game, but I haven't yet. So I have this one little villager whose job it is to completely rebuild this town. And you just set him out a task. It's you find like one building that needs to be opened. It's going to take an hour to do. Fine. You let him do that, and you can either play for an hour, or you can close it and do something else for an hour. Whenever you get back, the house is built. Great. There are some tasks like moving large boulders out of a path that are going to take about 99 hours. So you can just not play the game for a while, and there you go. It gets itself done.
So it's like Roller Coaster Tycoon, where you have to hire people to rebuild a city.
I guess. I don't know.
I think that was probably a Roller Coaster Tycoon mod if you have to rebuild a destroyed city. But
that sounds like, you know, if you could rebuild a city using roller coasters as the primary form of transportation, I want to visit that city.
Yeah. But BioWare presents Roller Coaster Tycoon. Starring post-apocalyptic Knuckles.
So yes, I have actually been playing that, but yeah, you know, I'm not very far into it. So I'm appreciating the job system because it's very Final Fantasy, but then so is the rest of the game. So
yeah. I mean, it seems like this is the Final Fantasy for people who want to actually play Final Fantasy at
right,
this point.
Exactly. A little bit less of the having to sit and I don't even know what Final Fantasies play like anymore. Actually, I haven't played 13 or 13.2 or the one after 13.2. So, yeah, I don't even know how they play anymore.
At year 13, you just pretty much walk forward for hours and fight things as you walk forward.
What if you could close the 3DS and it walked forward for you?
That would make it more enjoyable, maybe.
Okay. So these are free for Square if they want to use those.
So does anybody else in this podcast even play video games?
I have a game I played.
Oh, okay.
It's a phone game.
Is it Flappy Bird? Because I played Flappy Bird.
No, we can talk about Flappy Bird in a minute.
I mean, I have nothing to say, but go on.
Okay. It's called Banshee's Last Cry. And it is the very first time... Okay, wait. It is a localization of an old Super Nintendo game called Night of the Sickle Weasel. And it was,
sure.
It was like the one of the first visual novels that pretty much created the genre. And it's super popular in Japan. It got a remake on Game Boy Advance in Japan, so this is the first time Americans in English, or whoever speaks English, can play it. And it's been localized, so everyone is from a different part of America. And there's new pictures, and it's a branching murder mystery, pretty much. And there's like over 30 endings, so I hear. There's a lot of endings. And I played through it all the way once, picking all the answers that me as a person would play, like, I'm not trying to be a badass or anything, just what I would pick. And I almost got killed, but I ended up finding out who the murderer was, but at the wrong time. So I didn't get to hear the murderer's, why they did it. So I just got an end. They didn't even tell me if it was a good end or a bad end.
It wasn't the end.
No, it just ended. And so now I can restart the game and play it with the information I know and try to get a better ending, which I haven't done yet.
So, like, but once you know the answer to who did it, are you motivated to go back? And
apparently not enough, because I beat it a few weeks ago and I restarted it immediately. But then I was like, I want to, you know, play Zelda again. So I haven't really gone through it again.
Yeah, so it's like what you do once you cheat and choose your own adventure. Mm-hmm. Like, who wants to actually see all the other endings once you've seen Anna?
In this new one, I'm trying to be like the suave dude who's totally... You're there with a girl, and you're like, you're so... Your character's so afraid to just, like, show his feelings. I'm like, dude, just grab her hand. And, like, that's how I'm playing this time, but I think I'm missing valuable information. Like, I didn't pay attention at dinner because I was too... looking at my girlfriend too much.
You're too
much.
Busy chatting her up.
Yeah, and so I missed all this information. I'm like, God, if I play the game this way, I'm never going to get the right ending, so I don't know how to play it.
Well, I think maybe, like, maybe you're putting too much stock into what you think the game thinks is the right ending.
Oh.
Maybe you just want to get right after that girl.
I do.
Yeah,
I'm tired of, like, not being in the same room with her. Why did he pick a different room?
And maybe, you just leave the crazy British mansion or wherever else they hold murder mysteries with the girl, and then you don't even know who did it.
It's a ski lodge.
A ski lodge,
never,
yes.
Ever go to a ski lodge with a group of young people, because you're
never
all going
to
get...
A ski lodge,
good, because you're just going
to
get murdered. Yeah. It happens in every case closed episode.
Usually the, like, the most dangerous thing I do at a ski lodge is skiing. That's usually the way.
In which case, really, it's the trees that are the murderers.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really a mystery when I go to a ski lodge.
I know exactly who did it, and
yeah.
He's probably going to get away with it.
Yeah, I did it, and the victim was me, and the weapon was a tree.
And physics.
Or maybe, like, a 7-year-old who was really good at skiing in front of me. So, in conclusion, I'd make a terrible iPhone game.
What games have you been playing, Dan?
I've been playing Flappy Bird, and here's the one, like, Flappy Bird is bad. It is a bad game.
Wait, what is Flappy Bird? I keep hearing about it.
Here's what it is. It's a bad game. It's like, it's like SF Cave, if you played that Java game 15 years ago, because you're also an old person. And you tap on your iPhone screen like an idiot, and every time you tap, the bird, which looks like a Mario Brothers fish, if you haven't seen this already, flaps its tiny little wings and goes about an eighth of an inch up into the air, and then falls exponentially downward. And you have to go through these pipes, green pipes, you know, if you've ever seen green pipes before.
They're from Mario 3.
Yeah, one at the top of the screen, one at the bottom of the screen. You have to go through a hole in the middle, and if you don't, or if you get within really another eighth of an inch of the pipe, your bird dies. And the weird thing is, I think the bird actually dies, and it's not the same bird, because periodically it changes colors. That's really the only thought they put into this game. Sometimes the bird changes colors, and you think, oh god, you know, emergent gameplay alert, my bird is dead. I have to think about my motives. It's a lot like Papers, Please, only with a Flappy Bird. So anyway, it's a bad game. The collision detection is terrible. The graphics are stolen. The development was, took no more than a couple of hours. And I keep playing it, in part because I have ADHD, but also because it's done this one beautiful and perfect thing. And there is no difficulty curve. The game is exactly as hard at the beginning as it is at the end. And this is the thing that I think everyone making iPhone games is missing. Because once you get good at a game, the beginning of it is really boring. And in Flappy Bird, because you never get good at it, and because it is always excruciatingly difficult and broken, the instant you die, you think, well, I'm going to start exactly where I left off, only I need to get 50 more to match my high score and to show off against the other people who have it in Game Center. So Flappy Bird is bad, and you shouldn't feel bad that it's gone and you didn't download it, except that I think they're selling iPhones with Flappy Bird on it for thousands of dollars on eBay now.
Wait, what is the story behind this? I heard about the game. Did it get removed because of copyright reasons? Or?
No, it was removed, and I love this. This is, like, all the bad things I would otherwise say about the developer, who is Vietnamese, and as a result, I can't pronounce his name, and I apologize for that, Vietnamese people. You know, he removed the game, not because it was copyrighted, and not because he didn't like making $50,000 a day, because presumably he did, but because it was too addictive. And so he is literally the first person in the history of iPhone games to do the right thing. And,
oh my gosh.
And if the Twitch Plays Pokemon guy had done this before it was too late, we might have been spared the apocalypse on Earth that we're about to see.
Would that escalate to Twitch Plays Flappy Bird?
Oh god, I hope not.
No, with Twitch lag, I think that would be impossible.
How long is the average Flappy Bird?
Well, the thing is, the only thing you could type into the Twitch TV screen would be tap or don't tap. and you're pretty much just tapping over and over.
There's not a game optimized for the Twitch TV crowd control.
Yeah. I mean, I think you would need to resurrect Heinrich Himmler to optimize a game for the Twitch TV mechanic. But this is especially poorly optimized.
So what about you, Jeff?
Well, a couple weeks ago I was exploring my N64 DD, which has a one working game for it. Mario Artist Polygon Studio game. I don't speak Japanese, and it is all in Japanese. So aside from the wacky cartoony options that are sometimes there, I don't understand anything that's happening in it. But I've been playing this and kind of trying to get a hang of the polygon tools, and I still don't know what I'm doing.
But you're much better at the Mario Paint.
Yeah, I'm okay at Mario Paint.
Mario Paint, I guess that's your dad.
Yeah, Mario Artist is different. It's a totally different console. It's a very different game. Again, the one that I have is the Polygon Studio, and there are three different games for Mario Artist on the N64DD, all of which are different, but when you put them all together, you can actually save your content from one game to the internal memory of the console, and then you can access it on a different game. So in the Paint program, you could actually create textures, or you could create different things to apply to your polygons. And you could take that and put it into the Talent Studio and make a movie using your polygons with custom textures. So I haven't been able to do that because all the discs that I own, except for Polygon Studio, are broken, or they get the dreaded error number. I forgot what it is. Dan, you've been around when we've tried this out.
Yeah. It's the 64DD is very broken. And like most 64DDs, there are not a lot of games for it.
So we've tried to make these other games work. I've actually been talking to Toby Fox about getting some new Mario Artist discs to see if we can get the whole thing to work, because he'd like to rip the music and put it online, which is something that never occurred to me. So that's, I guess, potentially the most interesting thing I've been doing with my time, is trying to archive the music that is otherwise part of a lost console and system. But besides that, I downloaded an iOS game called Draw. Pretty bad. I'm gonna pull it up right now and actually do a quick review of this app. It's a free app. It's just called Draw.
How can you complain about it if it's free?
Well, I can complain because it's advertising Clash of Clans right now, and it's taking up a huge part of the screen.
Oh, okay.
And now I'm apparently getting another ad from Google. Okay, I'm gonna select a color really quick. I'm gonna go ahead and just draw. So I guess I can make a background color. And then I can tap the screen to draw. There's not a whole lot of options with this. They keep making me want to pay more for additional options. That's the extent of my gaming ability, guys. I don't know why you guys want me here. I don't know why you guys accept me. But that's basically what I've been doing with my time, is trying to get outdated, defective consoles to work to my advantage, and downloading free apps and then complaining about the advertising.
if you want Jeff to throw the 64DD into the garbage, type 64DD into the garbage into the chat room now. We've sat the seven oceans blue. We chased around the world, it's true.
Letter to the God, 10-4.